were all under the weather, and just not often that I end up getting sick myself, but last week I had it. Greetings to anyone that's also listening by Cybercast. What a welcome relief the Sabbath brings each week. We're certainly thankful for that. Brethren, several years ago, my wife and I went into the sheep business. We were able to purchase a flock from another farmer. One day, we didn't have any, and the next, we had 44 ewes, 2 bucks, and several lambs. I had grown up around sheep. My grandfather had a flock, and then my uncle, who was the next farm over, had a flock as well. But I never really had any of my own until this point in my life. I learned a lot in a short period of time. It gave me a clearer understanding of why God does so many comparisons between us as his people and sheep. In fact, God calls us his flock. Sheep are mentioned in the Bible more than 500 times, more than any other animal. The prominence of sheep in the Bible grows out of two realities. Sheep were important to the nomads in an agricultural life of the Hebrews and similar peoples. And secondarily, sheep are used throughout the Bible to symbolize reference to God's people. Let's look at this, if you would, turn over with me to Psalms chapter 95, and we'll read verses 6 and 7. Psalms chapter 95, verses 6 through 7. Oh, come, and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. So God calls us the sheep of his pasture. So let's look at also, let's turn over a few pages to Psalms number 100. And we'll read verses 1 through 3. Psalms number 100, verses 1 through 3. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We are the sheep of God, and the earth is our pasture. He watches over his sheep as a good shepherd. As a matter of fact, Christ calls himself the good shepherd. Turn over to John chapter 10. We'll look at that. John chapter 10 and verse 14. John 10 and verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Christ says he knows his sheep, and they know him. He gives instructions to his ministers and elders to shepherd his flock. That's in 1 Peter chapter 5. If you turn there with me, please. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. Here God gives instructions to his ministers. He said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lure, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but as being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. The Christ is called the good shepherd, but the pastor of the local church is also called a shepherd. Now, we've been very blessed in this area because we had a very good shepherd in Mr. Smith, and God has blessed us again with Mr. and Mrs. Dunkel being in the area. We also are very blessed to have two faithful elders that serve in this congregation. So that's something to be thankful to God for. In Hebrews 13, let's turn over there, please. In verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So here again, Hebrews points out that Christ is that great shepherd. We can be assured that our shepherd cares for us deeply, to the point that just one of us goes astray, he will leave the others and come to our aid. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 15, please. And we'll read verses 3 through 7. Luke 15, verses 3 through 7. And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. You know, Christ is a very faithful to his flock. A faithful shepherd will give his life to protect his flock, which is exactly what Christ did. Let's look at some characteristics of sheep. Sheep generally are followers. Sheep have a strong instinct to follow the sheep in front of them. When one sheep decides to go anywhere, the rest of the flock usually follows, even if it's not a good decision. For example, sheep will follow each other to the slaughter. If one sheep jumps over a cliff, the others will likely follow. Even from birth, lambs are conditioned to follow the older members of the flock. This instinct is hardwired into the sheep. It's not something they think about. God wants us to not follow the rest of the world. He wants us to stop and think about what direction that we are headed. We are to be different and follow his guidance, not what everyone else is doing. You know, I know when we had our sheep, you know, if you get one of them started, the rest of them would go. But if you didn't get that first one started, whew, you were in for a rough way to go. In Proverbs chapter 1, let's read verses 8 through 15. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 15. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be ornaments of grace around your head and chains around your neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, Come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. You know, when I put this together, I hadn't got the email from Mr. Dunkel until last night. And, you know, what made me think about this is Mrs. Ruggles, where she had those two intruders came in on her this past Thursday. You know, that's certainly someone waiting for blood and coming after the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find precious substance. We shall fill our houses with the spoil. But God says, where they want you to cast their lot among us. Let us all have one purse. But God goes on to say, "My son, walk thou not in thy way with them. Restrain thy foot from their path." There's where God wants us to be different from the world. I know from working with sheep in the time that we did, again, like I mentioned earlier, if you could get the first one started, it was you could do pretty well with them. But if you couldn't get them started, it was like pulling teeth until you got that first one to go in. Christ wants us to follow him. Let's go over to John chapter 12, please. John chapter 12, and we'll read verses 25 through 26. "He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him my Father will honor." God does not say that we will not have to suffer trials along the way, because we do. But what God does say is that I will be with you, and I will protect you, and I will shepherd you through the trials that you're facing in life. Turn back with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "For even unto this were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his footsteps." So yes, we're going to have suffering. We're going to have heartache along the way. And sometimes God needs to reach down his staff and hook us with the end of the staff and pull us back on track. But he will help us. And he will be there for us. In Revelation chapter 14, and verse 4. These are they that were not defiled with the woman, for they are virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb wherever he goes, and they were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So God does want us to be followers, but he wants us to follow him. This is the reward of those that follow God and the direction that he leads. He wants us to not be followers of this world, but to follow his lead and his example. Sheep have a tendency to get distracted easily. They lose sight of where they're going and can get lost if the shepherd is not watching closely. I know the very first ewe that I bought before I bought this herd, or this flock rather, I had bought a ewe off my uncle that was going to lamb. And I had her there at the house, and everything was fine, and then one day she disappeared. I looked all over the country, couldn't find that thing anywhere. And one day I got a phone call, and a guy called me up, and he says, "Forrest?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well," he said, "you're not missing a sheep, are you?" I said, "Actually, I'm missing a ewe." He said, "Well, I found her." He said, "Actually, my dog found her first. But," he said, "I brought her home, pinned her up in the barn for you." And sure enough, when I got there she was. But it's a thing that sheep do not like to be by themselves. Which brings us to our second point. Sheep are social animals. Sheep are a very social animal. Animal behaviorists note that sheep require the presence of four or five other sheep when grazing together to maintain a visual link to each other. So as they're grazing in the pasture, They're looking for that companion to make sure that it's safe, because that with as a group together, they can keep an eye out for predators. To illustrate this, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll read verses 22 through 27. Hebrews chapter 10. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So God wants us to be social, and he wants us to socialize with one another. He wants us to spend time with our brethren of like mind, to encourage one another, and to pray for one another, and for what others are going through. I know many times many of you have prayed and remembered our family on Isaac's behalf, and that has been a major help to us over the last few years of going through the trial that we're going through with him. But that's something that God expects us as his people to do. Brethren, we strengthen one another by the fellowship and prayers for each other. That builds bonds that we are able to help one another with. Let's turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We'll see this point illustrated. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they will have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. So God wants us to fellowship with the brethren, and he wants us to share time together to build those bonds of that social community. The social time we spend together at services and in our homes helps us build bonds that are not easily broken. Sharing a meal together is more enjoyable than eating alone when you're sharing with someone else. Just as sheep need to maintain a visual contact when grazing and sharing a meal, fellowshipping is something that God wants each of us to do. One of the things we enjoy so much at the feast is sharing meals together. So, as soon as we start having feast remembrance, one of the things that comes to mind is, oh, yeah, remember that dinner we had at Olive Garden? We had so much fun there. Or, you know, whatever the case may be. But one of the things that God points out is that just look at God's holy days. There is a reason he calls them feast. When you start out in the spring of the year, you have night to be remembered. That's always a memorable occasion. Then you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Weeks, we're getting ready to celebrate that next weekend, which is also called Pentecost. Then you have the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles. And let's not forget that great feast that God has planned for all of us. So sharing meals together is something that God very much encourages and wants us to do. The third aspect we need to look at is sheep are typically not fighters. Sheep are prey animals. When they are faced with danger, their natural instinct is to flee and not fight. Their strategy is to use avoidance and rapid flight to avoid being eaten, although they're not very rapid on the flight part at times. After fleeing, sheep will reform in a group, and they'll face and look at their predator. They use their natural herding instinct to band together for safety. A sheep that is by itself is vulnerable to attack. And God also points out we are as well. When we're by ourselves and we're not building those bonds and we don't have those links to other people, we're more vulnerable for Satan to attack us. Another point along this line is that sheep tracks are never straight. The winding of trails allows sheep to observe the backside of the one in front of them, first one eye and then the other. Sheep can spot dogs or perceive forms of danger from 12 to 1,500 yards away. Sheep have excellent senses. They have wide angle of vision, which allows them to see the predators. They direct their ears in the direction of the sound, and they are also very sensitive to what predators smell like. So they have a very good sense of smell, and they have a very good vision, all except when they're up close. When you're standing right in front of them, they have a harder time visualizing who you are than what they do from a distance. Let's turn to 1 Peter 5, please. First Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Here God says to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, trying to get that one by themselves. Satan wants to destroy each and every one of us. He doesn't want us to be part of God's sheep. He wants us to be away from the flock so he can pick us off. But God does not leave us without instruction in this. One of the tools that God gives to help us is found in James chapter 4 and verse 7. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Here God gives us instruction and says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God will not leave us unless we leave him. And even then, he tries to bring us back, as the example of the one out of 99 that he goes after. Our fourth aspect I wanted to look at was sheep can be very stubborn. I know this, when we were working with ours, we were trying to get them in to worm the ewes or to separate the lambs from them. They could be very stubborn and not cooperate at all. And sometimes we can do that with God. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 46, please. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 12. I'm going to be reading this from the Amplified Version because I thought it made it just a little bit clearer. Listen to me, you stiff-hearted, and you who have lost heart, you who are far from righteousness, from uprightness and right standing with God, and from his righteous deliverance. So God says, look, you know, sometimes he just needs to tell us, look, you need to stop what you're doing. You need to listen to what I'm telling you. I know he's had to do that with me a lot. Turn over to Acts chapter 7, please. This is, again, from the Amplified Version. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. You stubborn and stiff-necked people, still heathen and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You are always actively resisting the Holy Spirit, as your forefathers were, so are you also. So God says, you know, sometimes he tells his people, you can be stubborn and stiff-necked. It's like the children of Israel. When he told them to go into the promised land, they said, nope, we're not doing it. All of them but two, Joshua and Caleb. So they had to pay the consequences for that. But God doesn't want to ward over us, or he doesn't want us to have to pay consequences. He wants us to follow what he's given us to do. Another example of this is in Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, we'll read the first couple of verses. Here God says, whoever loves instruction and correction loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is like a brutal beast, stupid and indiscriminating. Now, I know when I had my sheep, I thought they were stupid many times. But then I realized I was just like them. In some ways. So, a good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked devices he condemns. So God says, look, I'll be there to help you, I'll shepherd you along the way, but you got to follow what I'm telling you to do. Brethren, let's allow God to teach us and let us receive that instruction to help us develop his righteous character in our lives. The next point I want to cover is sheep know their master's voice. If you turn with me to John chapter 10. And we'll read John chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the fold of sheep, but climbeth over some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his sheep by name and leads them out. You know, as I was researching this, one of the things that they talked about was in the land of Israel, they would have folds to put their sheep up into at night. And a lot of times, three or four different shepherds would put all their sheep all in one fold. And a fold was just had a rock foundation around it. It was up about three to 4 feet tall. And then it had a roof over it, and on top of the roof, they would put all kinds of thorns and thickets and anything sharp to discourage predators from entering. And what was interesting about that was the next morning, when the shepherds went to get their flocks, the four shepherds that had their sheep in there, each of them would go a different direction. And when they would open the door to let the sheep out, as each shepherd called his sheep, they knew who their master was, and would just form a line and go to that master, each one to his own master. And I thought that was very interesting. And that's what God wants us to do as well, to know him. When he has put forth his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow. I remember when we first went and looked at that flock that we bought, when I first went down there, I walked in the barn, and them sheep scattered everywhere. And I thought, oh, this is not going to work very well. He said, that's because they're not used to you. He said, once they get used to you, they'll follow you everywhere. And he was absolutely correct. Once they got used to you, sometimes it was almost annoying how closely they would follow. This parable spoke Jesus unto them. but they understood not what things that he spoke to them. Jesus therefore said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out, and shall find pasture. The thief cometh not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He that is a hireling and not a shepherd, who own the sheep are not, behold, the wolf's coming, and leave the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He fleeth because he is a hireling, and he cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and mine are known of me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. You know, back when we had our sheep, we had one ewe that would have twins every year, and which was really nice, except for there was one problem. She only milked out of one quarter. So every year, there was always a lamb that we had to bottle feed. Well, Linda took over that task, and it was so funny to watch this every morning and every evening. That lamb would not get out of that pen at all. He would stay right there with the rest of them. As soon as she came to the steps of the house, all she had to do was holler his name. That lamb would bolt, lay sideways, go through the fence, come up there, and a lot of times would get there hardly before she got off the steps. He did that every time. That was so funny. Sometimes she'd make it out a little past the yard gate, but he knew her voice. And as soon as she hollered for him, you couldn't have kept that lamb in. I think if you'd have tied it down, he'd have broke the strings. But that is such a wonderful example, because the sheep do know their shepherd, and they know who takes care of them and who watches out for them. You know, Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He cares for each of us, and he loves each of us. He is there to protect us and to help us in every way. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs up in his arm. He will carry them in his bosom, and will gently lead those who have their young. Brethren, we all want to come to the point where we can say this. Turn back to Psalms 23. Here David wrote this, and David understood what it was like to have sheep, because he was a shepherd. It's interesting that also Abraham and Moses were shepherds as well. Many of the figures throughout the Bible were shepherds before they were in the position that they ended up in. But here's where we want to be. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And certainly he has blessed our nation very greatly. Our Father has helped us in many, many ways. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and the staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To recap, we want to be followers of Jesus Christ. We want to follow his lead and what he wants for each and every one of us. He is the good shepherd. We need to be social. We need each other. We also need God to fight our battles for us. We should not be stubborn, but we need to be close to God so that we will know our Master's voice. Finally, brethren, let's look at one last scripture in 1 Peter 5, verse 4. God says, if we follow the great shepherd, here is our reward. And when the great shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that does not fade away.